locations for Northeast 85th Street. And finally, we wanted to see a tree retention plan set and include any retained trees and landscaping plans. I'm sorry, I skipped ahead there. Sorry. The applicant has provided a response to these items as part of the submitted plan set, and we'll go over each of these items as part of their presentation. I did want to clarify one issue. So as part of the packet, or sorry, part of the memo, there was a note that the applicant was eliminating the south driveway. That has not occurred at this time. So there are, is my understanding, the applicant and the neighboring property owner are still negotiating that. And so the proposal, as you will see tonight, includes the utilization of that south driveway still. So I just wanted to clarify that. As far as public comments were concerned, prior to the staff, the last meeting, we received two public comment letters. During the February 10th meeting, we had two individuals who provided comments to the board and submitted a letter. All those letters have been included as attachment 5 of the staff memo. Some of the issues raised in letters included notification of any architectural work, use of native vegetation, retention of significant trees, ensuring dark sky compliance to reduce light pollution, access to and from the property, lack of commercial frontage, the need for buffers from the project, and issues related to the access easement used by the Rosecrest Apartments to the south. So as stated previously, tonight the DRB will need to review the proposal for compliance with the applicable design guidelines. The board will also need to consider any additional public comments that are received tonight. If the board determines that all the guidelines have been adequately addressed, the board can move to approve the project as proposed or with conditions. If the board determines there are guidelines that have not been addressed, the board can continue the design response conference to a future date and identify the specific items the applicant will need to comply with. And that concludes my staff presentation. Are there any questions for staff?
Thank you, Tony. I'll kick it off to Amanda. Do you have any questions?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. So the location of the property?
Oops. Yeah. Could you repeat the intersection?
Yeah, it's Northeast 85th and 128th. It's a former Crescent lighting site.
Okay,
that's what I thought. Yeah, it's been, most of the buildings on the site have been removed, but there's still a small building there. So.
Thank you, Amanda. Randall?
Any other questions?
Yeah, just quick clarification.
Sure.
When you talk about the south access drive,
yeah,
and you're saying that's still under negotiation, what exactly does that mean? Because how do we look at this, and when we look at this and say, okay, the access drive will or will not be there?
I would look at it from your perspective is that it will remain. An access drive for the site.
Okay.
If it changes in the future, staff would evaluate that and determine whether or not it needs to come before the board again as a minor modification or something like that. So, but the proposal as proposed in the plans tonight is what you'll be reviewing.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Randall. Carlos, I'll kick it off to you.
No comments.
No questions for me.
Amy, do you have any questions? Amy, can you hear me? Do you have any questions?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Nope. No questions. I was having tech issues, and so I just finally been able to connect.
No worries. I have no questions at this time.
Okay, great.
We can move to the applicant's presentation.
All right. Good evening, Chair, board members. Jeff Borkhart with Taylor Morrison. I'm the Ford Planning Director. Good to see all of you guys again, and to a new face, Board Member Bredlow. So as you all recall, we focused our review this time on several key areas. That was the material sample board, which you see over to my left, the South Drive aisle, the plaza design, lighting levels, lighting details, bench details, eliminating planters along 85th was a comment that we heard for pedestrian accessibility, and then pedestrian connectivity and wayfinding. So I did want to first discuss the South Drive aisle. We were able to work through that to try to preserve as many of those trees as possible. So we are trying basically through this in whatever commercially viable way and engineering viable way to preserve several of these trees along the south side. As I don't know why this isn't working, but as the planner mentioned, we are working with the adjacent neighbors to try to eliminate this access point here. As you see, should we not be able to preserve some of those trees, this is exactly what the planting would look like here. You get closer detail, heavily planted along the entire southern boundary there within that buffer. This is what you could see what that would end up looking like right along that southern edge. So I know there was a concern last time. We do have a pretty sizable buffer there. The plaza, one of the questions was details on that. And so we can walk you through a little bit more on our fly through, but we also provided sections here, both this section B here, and then section C on the planter. What you'll find is there's a mix of obviously different grades. So that it's separated from the street, but also provides access here. It's a little bit more in line with the street level. You can see that it's pretty heavily landscaped along the edges now, but we opened this up based on one of the board members' comments last time. We placed roses at the corner, which is something that was in the design standards. We also added, and you can see through some of these stones and boulders and everything like that, some passive play options. That's more in line with the plaza design, but also could double up seating if you need to. But it all opened it up for more opportunities for children to play, which is something that we heard. So you can see this is the new revised rendering here. Lighting was something else that we considered. And so in your package, we have all of our lighting plans. It's a little hard to read this photometric plan on a slide, but if you zoom in real close, you'll see that all of our lighting levels are met. And man, this is a lot of information. So we'll see if I can scroll past this slide fairly quickly. Also on site, we went through and made sure our foot candles were met throughout the site, providing adequate light from a safety standpoint, specifically in this north corner here, which was a concern, and at the plaza level. So all of them have adequate lighting levels. And we did that by adding some additional light fixtures on the site. These are the light poles in the right-of-way. So this is all city standard details. So these are straight out of the public works design. This is, I'll turn it over to Sean now. We can get into more detail with questions, but I figured we'd breeze over all these things specifically since we wanted to keep the review focused here. So I'll turn it over to Sean on the benches and everything else.
Sean Whitaker, I'm a managing principal at Dahlin Group. I'll start with presenting some bench details that were requested during our last presentation. So we're proposing two benches along 85th Street. They're between the buildings here and here. This will be a cast in place bench with a sack and patch finish and a toe kick detail. We're also proposing a light strip to illuminate the bottom of the bench along that toe kick. Here's the detail specifically drawn in section in our submittal documents. Second item I'm presenting is pedestrian connectivity. So we added a diagram to our submittal set to show both the pedestrian paths as well as the vehicular paths. We have three connections to the public way. They are here, where my cursor is hovering in the northwest corner, here through the plaza, and then thirdly, along 128th Avenue, about halfway up the block. This pedestrian connection will be accessible, and this connection to the plaza will be accessible. We've clearly demonstrated that all the pedestrian paths are illuminated. That was the highly technical photometric plan that Jeff presented a moment ago. Another item required for the pedestrian connectivity is accessibility. So we've demonstrated accessibility to the plaza as well as to the site. The code talks about graceful transitions that include landscape and terracing. I think our plaza is an ideal example of both of those elements, terracing and using landscaped elements at each of these connection points. And then wide and visible stairs where they're required have been included through the plaza. So this is a 6 foot wide stair and a 5 foot wide stair connection. So we've met all of the pedestrian connectivity requirements described by the code.
And I think that really concludes our presentation, but one thing I did want to address for board member Brand over here. You know, as we work through this, the only change between eliminating that connectivity would functionally be a landscape strip across, similar to what you'd see in that other hammerhead over there. So it'd be a pretty minor difference in the plan as you see it today versus what would end up if we were able to work through this agreement with the neighbor.
Thank you. And thank you for taking the time to go through this presentation with us. I'll now kick it off to my colleagues for any additional questions. Amy, I'll start with you if you're online.
All right. Yeah, so I have some questions about the placement of buildings in relation to your access points and driveways and pedestrian connection. So first one is on the very south, you have an existing drive. And so those row houses or townhouses that are at the southern end, where are the front doors facing?
Amy, thanks for your question. The front doors are facing internally. That was part of our evolution of the connection to the southern edge of our site. And it was intentional to be less disruptive to the neighbors to the south.
How does it disrupt the neighbors?
Yeah.
Hi, Mark Betcher with Main Street Property Group. Good evening, Amy. I don't recall seeing you at the CDC or DRB1. Amanda, I quickly try to bring you up to speed as well. As I know, you know, the four board members here and Shannon have been consistent throughout this process. We've iterated this site plan numerous times. We, at the CDC meeting, iterated the 85th Street frontage. We've evaluated spacing and the location of buildings. We've evaluated the pedestrian connectivity. And as a result of DRB1, the takeaway that we received from the board members that were consistently at these meetings really boiled it down to site lighting, northeast corner plaza, and what was it? I think that was part of the continuation. Yes. Oh, and the material board. So I'm sorry some of these aren't there. I do believe they're in the minutes and available online, but the functionality of the front doors on the south, they do face north. But this is something that we've worked very, very hard on to get up to this point. As we all know, shout out to Carlos on his last night. He's very detailed and asks a tremendous amount of questions, and we appreciate that. And we worked hard. I think we were 2.5 hours at the last meeting and equal amount of time there. So just kind of want to set that. But Amy, any other questions you have, we'll be happy to answer. But we've been, very, very diligently working with the board to get through and answer and respond to a lot of these specific questions.
Yeah, so I appreciate the context, and I was perfectly aware that because I wasn't in the previous meetings, that there might have been some discussions that I missed. And so I'm pretty sure you have an answer to that, but I didn't hear that. So
Sure.
what was the reason?
What is the reason the buildings along the southern edge have the front doors to the north?
Correct.
It's been our attempt to appease the neighbors to our south. We've redesigned the site numerous times to be an accommodating neighbor and try and win their support.
I see. So they requested that the front doors
I just,
be
I'm
facing,
sorry.
should face away from them.
So, Amy, the existing drive that you're referring to is actually our property. There's an easement in that area, and they have rights to access and some buffer elements. And in working with them to try and get to a harmonious solution, we redesigned our site plan. This is probably iteration 10 or 15, to accommodate some of their desires the best we possibly could, while being mindful that it is our property there, and we've made the accommodation, as I stated, in an attempt to appease them and gain their support.
So what specifically was their request?
You have that slide? I have an exhibit that I'll show you. Pardon me, Amy. Well, I put together kind of a quick, I mentioned, 10 or 15 various iterations of the site plan. I'll show you our preferred alternative one. And then after meeting with the neighbors, we made accommodations as noted. I'll show you the preferred alternative two, and
Yeah,
then
you don't
show
need to show me all the iterations. I just
you.
needed to, and I do respect the neighbors, obviously concerns, but I still haven't heard you mention
Okay.
specifically what the neighbor's
Specific,
concern was.
specifically, given the existing drive is our property, we originally had direct garage access and front doors from the easement area. We then changed our design to remove the garage entrances from the easement area to have the garages on the north while retaining. So here we go. If Sean were to zoom in to the preferred alternative one at the top, can you zoom in at all? So this was iteration one. This was our preferred alternative. This was a what we preferred. And after engaging with the neighbors and listening to them and trying to work with them, we then went to preferred alternative two, which is the next one there. What you can see is we flipped the garage entrances and the site plan changed dramatically to have access to those homes from the north while maintaining the front doors. And then, if you're going to go down one more, as you'll see this evening, preferred alternative three, this is our final proposal that we've landed on and iterated with you folks. Now we have the garage access and the front door access from the north as well.
Okay, so can you zoom back into the master plan? Okay, thank you. So for the row houses facing Northeast 85th, where are the front doors?
They're along 85th Street.
Okay, so they're opposite where the garages are,
That's
correct?
correct.
Along what is those side streets?
128th.
Okay, so where are the front doors?
Along 128th.
Okay, and where's the garage
On the
entrances?
west side.
Opposite,
Correct.
correct? Opposite of the front doors.
That is correct.
Okay. So going back to the row houses on the southern, and where are the front doors?
On the north side.
And where are the garage entrances?
On the north side.
Okay, so that's kind of like what I was wondering about. Why is the front doors on the north side with the garages? Well, the rest of your row houses, you have front doors facing the more public side, and then the garages on the opposite side.
Well, there are a variety of reasons. One, in an attempt to be neighborly and maximize the buffer area, because if the doors were for the southern homes were on the southern portion, you need access, which provides hardscape, which reduces the amount of area for buffer. Furthermore, this is a fairly significant project, and there's some variety in product type. We don't know who the ultimate consumer is, but the end of the day, if we have variety as opposed to one type fits all, we believe that this is going to work well as well.
So, can you explain where the buffer is on the south side? I had the impression that it was on the, and maybe the perspective drawings were maybe not as clear to me. So,
So
where is that buffer, and how wide is it?
If you see the orange arrow in the bottom right, the perspective that you saw of the buffer is looking to the west northwest. Who's driving here? John or Sean? At this point in time, it's approximately 5 feet.
Okay,
So,
so and so
distance here.
basically you're saying that
Excuse me, I misspoke. It's 10 feet as proposed with this configuration today.
and can you go back to the master plan? Okay, so going back to the row houses on the north that's along 85th. How wide of a buffer do you have for the front doors?
It's effectively a zero line setback. They're recessed a few feet. Sean, is it 3 feet? It's a 3 foot inset from back of curb.
Okay, how about the ones on 128?
So we're set back 5 feet. There's pretty significant grade along 128th. So we have kind of a stoop element, and the front doors are set back at least 5 feet.
Okay. So how about for the front doors of the lower the southern row houses? Is there any landscaping at all?
There's a potential for a small little area for potential native grasses that delineates the def defines between garage doors. So there's a little softening that occurs there.
Okay. So basically the row houses on the low On the southernmost, they don't have any sidewalks to get to their front doors, correct? They
No,
have to
that's
walk on the driveway to get
no.
to
If
the.
the orange denotes the sidewalk that parallels the northern frontage of their buildings. So there's a pedestrian sidewalk along there.
And
And the as well as
so
the end units.
and how much of that is interrupted by garage entrances.
I don't know the exact percentage, but you're correct. There are garage entrances that will be traversing the sidewalk.
Okay. All right.
Or the access way.
Okay. Yeah. So, and basically, as far as with your pedestrian connections, you're providing can, and just to clarify, you are providing sidewalks wherever you show the blue, correct? I'm sorry, the orange.
Yeah, wherever the orange is.
Okay. All right. So going back to the buffer on the south side, you said that's a 10-foot buffer. When where you have your driveway that basically stops, instead of connecting to the existing driveway, how wide is the buffer there?
Are you talking about in the southeast corner?
Correct.
My slot.
Let's get give us an opportunity to give you a correct answer here, Amy. Southeast dead end.
Yeah, are you
it's
are right you able here. To exit out of the PDF full screen so I can zoom in?
Okay. So this definitely looks a lot more than what's showing on that master plan. It looks like your master plan shows that driveway basically it's like probably like 3 feet away from the curb.
It's difficult to scale it like a, you know, one to something, but once you zoom in at the smaller scale, it's a lot easier to see.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Amy.
Thank you, Amy. I'll kick it off to Amanda. Do you have any questions?
I don't have any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Amanda. Randall?
I hate to beat it to death, but let's go to that south driveway. Just a couple clarification questions. The existing drive that's there now stays in place, correct?
That's the intent with the revision that we made from the last hearing.
Okay, and the north curb line of that particular drive stays in place other than patching back in where there is curb that's been broken out or over time.
So we got to tear up the north section of that drive aisle for utility purposes, so we would fix the curb
But the desire is to leave it basically at the same point that it is now.
Yes.
So that doesn't change. And the only thing that changes on this drive is when you go down to the west end and you've got the trash enclosure, you're actually moving that trash enclosure further west.
As currently designed, yes. However, we are working with the neighbor on an updated small change to this where it's possible that trash enclosure may live, you know, here somewhere.
That trash enclosure is something that the current one is falling down, needs some assistance, but it's got one basically large garbage bin container, but then you've got seven or eight blue recycle bins that are sitting along the drive aisle. Are you working with them to get that consolidated and get that? Because for both sides, for the existing apartment building and the condo deal, there, as we look at garbage collection and that type of thing, this needs to be cleaned up in that area.
Yeah, I think we'd be amenable to making, if you guys wanted a condition of approval us on something like that, we'd be amenable to making an update to that.
Okay, as you come across that existing drive to the north and you hit the 10-foot buffer, What is a relative, just a rough relative elevation drop from that driveway at the curb, not at the drive surface, down to the slab on grade for your building?
I was hoping you would not answer or ask that question because I don't have it right in front of me right now. But it is a few feet. It's a, you know,
you're,
I think it's like
somewhere.
It varies, but it's around 3 to 5 feet.
Yeah. But towards the east end, you're probably almost 5 feet towards.
Right.
It goes back down to where you're bringing your drive aisle up. So when we talk about whether or not you have a front door coming off of that side, you really got an elevation change.
Yes. If it's
tough to handle.
You're absolutely right. If we ended up bringing a front door in on that side, and I wish this thing would not freeze on me. You would essentially eliminate over half that landscaping,
right,
if not all of the existing landscaping, in order to accommodate the grade that would be necessary to get the sidewalk in, and then accommodate any sort of necessary retaining walls in that area. You would wipe out every piece of those trees.
Yeah, and now on one of the plans that you had that came back, colored plans that you showed at the very beginning of your presentation for that area, showed that there's like five trees that you're trying to keep.
Yes.
The far east tree, I would raise a question on that because of your site triangle coming out onto 128th.
Sure.
If the tree that I'm looking at is still there, that's a, you know, your sidewalk and everything that's happening there, there may be a problem there. Now, as you come back through that on your plan, you show that there are large conifers that are pretty tightly spaced all along that south line. Now, what's the height? Now, on your plan, you don't have a height. On the mediums and the small, you've got, you know, 15 to 26 on the medium. What's your plan for the planning of that? What would be your landscape plan for that?
I knew we were going to get into details, which is why I put the legal files in, and now they're not loading.
let me get you to where I'm going.
Yeah.
Is that with the South neighbors, this is one of those things that over the years, this landscaping that's in there now, not in very good shape. And a lot of that is probably going to come out and going to end up coming out because it just isn't maintainable. So the question I have is how tall are those trees and how quickly will that start to infill?
Yeah.
And that, because as I've seen projects like this, it takes maybe 3 to 4 years, but it's all back and even a solid infill than what it is now.
Yeah, so arguably, you're absolutely right. Most of that landscape buffer today is overgrown shrubs that are not thriving. They're pretty dead in a large number of spots. They would be infilled with the trees, 6 feet minimum height at planting. And so over time, those would fill in significantly. Just in a few years, they would grow.
How tall are the trees that you're planning to plant?
You mean like at max height?
No,
right up front, 6 feet minimum height.
6 feet minimum for original planting.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because as you look at that existing landscape now, and you look at the existing parking apartment building, is the better trees are either at the east or the west of that apartment building. Anything that the apartment building looks at are in really bad shape, and so trying to keep a tree or keeping those trees may be really difficult to do. So just an observation of being on site and taking a look at that.
Yeah, and the trees that we would be attempting to save there were trees that were identified by the arborist as ones that have a better survivability rate. The challenge we have, obviously, is it's going to come down to engineering as well, right? And so we have to be able to support that road as we're grading the site, that existing drive aisle. And so if we grade our site and we have the need to kind of get into some of those spots, you know, we have to look at whether those trees can survive the grading operation.
Well, you also see it is that what is the root?
Right, exactly.
Makeup of the existing trees, how much do they encroach, and how much are you going to be cutting out with, you know, your
grading,
footings and foundation,
right,
and that type of thing. So I'm just trying to get a clear picture of what this is and what you're looking at, because in respect to the neighbors, there's going to be a change. But in the life of the facilities and the life of the project, it's a minor change over a period of time. And so I just want to try and garner that and figure out what you're actually doing there. So that's pretty much my questions.
Thank you so much, Randall. Carlos?
Thank you very much, Tyler. I think we have talked a lot about landscaping. Just the last question that I had is regarding the southwest portion of the property, where the trash enclosure is. Seems that there's a sidewalk next to it. Is it required? What's the purpose of having that? And it's shown in the landscape plan. Yeah, that one that you have the screen. If you zoom in the southwest portion of the property, where the trash enclosure is.
Yeah, and I think the intent was so that so you don't reach, what is that, building G or, and then just get stuck back there and then have to walk all the way back around. It provides you another opportunity to get across there and get back onto the pedestrian circulation.
Okay.
I always forget what they're called, but desire paths where people walk where they already want to go.
Yeah.
And so you try to avoid that by putting in behaviorally the path of least resistance. And so that would stop people from having to go all the way back around and instead just kind of cross right there.
Okay.
So that's the intent, is just to improve pedestrian circulation.
Right. And I think that you mentioned it with Randall, but is the intent to alter the existing trash enclosure that is there?
It was to move it currently the way that it's designed. There will still need to be where it's currently located at. There will be some utility connections, so it will the location will need to move slightly. But yeah, I mean we didn't anticipate in building a new one, but as I mentioned earlier to remember Brand, I think we would accept a condition of approval if that's something that the DRB wanted to add on to the project.
And have you thought about the type of finishes that are going to be there? I think currently it has some wood slats, that like a fence type. Is it going to have a gate?
I up until this very moment didn't even consider it until you guys mentioned it to us. So I think we'd be open to whatever conditions of approval in terms of making it consistent is typically the thing. You don't want your trash enclosure to stand out, right? You want it to be a utilitarian structure that blends into the background and that's easily landscaped. And so, you know, fencing or walls or whatever the case may be, I think is usually the more appropriate option. But like I said, it should be a utilitarian structure, just like we would try to hide utility boxes.
Okay. For the lighting plans, thank you very much for sharing the kind of like all this information with the foot candles. I was just wondering, what is the minimum required by code or to just for paths of travel to right of way? What is what you're trying to achieve there?
Yeah, there is no minimum in code. You want to try to get something above zero, essentially. So zero is dark. The challenge with certain types of fixtures too is you got to make sure, you know, I mentioned during the last one, trying to avoid glare, light intrusion into adjacent windows. A lot of these are placed near windows, and so you don't want to create a glare scenario into somebody's bedroom window. And so they're all down shielded, essentially, to be focused down on the ground and not to allow for any sort of exterior intrusion. So on the photometric plan, you'll notice where those light fixtures are. They have a cutoff point, so they don't extend beyond to to the back of it.
So I'm just wondering if I was looking at the code yesterday, the KCC-57.25 talks about well-illuminated areas, and it has some information regarding minimum foot candles, kind of like 0.24 vertical foot candles and 0.01, I think it was talking that it goes beyond the property, a certain amount of feet.
Yeah, that's for the glare and light intrusion to not allow for light pollution onto adjacent properties.
Okay.
Yeah, and so we meet that requirement.
Okay. The station area guidelines also talk about dark sky fixtures. Can you just show us the fixture selection and how do they comply with
sure.
that requirement?
So I'm very familiar with dark sky prior to my time here in the Pacific Northwest, spent time in Nevada, specifically in Northern Nevada, everything is a dark sky requirement. They require you to be able to see stars. Same thing in Arizona, which is very common. If you've been to places like Sedona or Scottsdale, they all have dark sky standards. And so basically the core principle of this is to be down, shielded, to not allow for light to go upward. That's basically at a bare minimum explanation of what these all do. And I do not know why it's going 100 miles an hour away from where I want it to be. But yes, all the light fixtures are downshielded so that they don't have any sort of upward light glare.
Are they certified by the Dark Sky Association, or they were just selected based on the orientation of the light bulbs?
Yeah, the certification, every light fixture is not reviewed by the Dark Sky Association.
But they have a list, right, of fixtures that they recommend?
They have standards that you should try to meet. They don't have a list of recommendations. I mean, that would be nearly impossible with how many light fixtures come out on a regular basis for one organization with like a handful of people that work there to review every light fixture. So what they do is they put together a manual in terms of how lights should be designed, mm-hmm. Kelvin levels, things like that. But yes, these all meet those standards. And functionally, it's directing light downward at a bare fundamental standard so that it doesn't go up into the sky.
Okay.
You can see that all of them are...
Mm-hmm. Okay, so they all comply with the station area guidelines, right?
Yeah. You can even see here what they kind of come out this way.
Oh.
But yeah, so when they get plugged into that photometric, you'll notice they have a conical structure. They go out, mm-hmm. but not behind. And part of that is because they're all downshielded.
Okay. And just a last comment. I was looking at the renderings for the plaza, and I was also comparing it with the landscaping, I guess, a landscaping plan, which shows the paver orientations. I think that the pattern of the pavers is different from one to the other.
Yeah.
I was just wondering which one is correct, the one, the landscaping plan or the renderings?
The landscape plan.
Okay.
Yeah.
And just again, just to confirm, this is my last question. I think that we didn't receive the tree retention plan that you presented that had the specific trees with colors indicated. Could you confirm if you are planning to retain any existing trees in this property?
So there is a plan in the civil improvement plans. But what I did is I just, for ease of use, highlighted it on this sheet so that you guys would be able to see it, even though it's not loading. So apologies. But yeah, so the intent is to try to preserve, I believe it's 5 trees along that southern boundary.
Those are the only ones that you are preserving for the entire property, or?
Well, there's not really many trees on the rest of the property. It's like a parking lot that's pretty much demolished buildings at this point. So there's not very many trees. It's only along that southern buffer. And as board member Brand mentioned, most of them are not really a survivable right now, based on our arborist report.
Okay. That's all. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you, Carlos. Yeah.
I don't really have any questions, but I'm curious about, do you pick out the artist for the artwork?
I think that's the plan as of now. Obviously, we're just showing the rows. I've been looking into different types of artist collectives in the area. Be nice to, I know it's not necessarily in your purview, but it'd be nice to talk to you guys as, you know, people in the design community to try to get some recommendations for artists. We would like to try to find somebody local to actually design something for us rather than have something, you know,
sure,
sort of an off the shelf.
Yeah, we can talk about that. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Supriya. That's a good call out. Actually made me think of how you should partner with some of the schools and their art projects to see if there is something that could be done, and that could be something that would be used also for a marketing side of it. That's what we did with our company. Before I go into any of my questions, I did want to ask my fellow colleagues, did anybody get a chance to take a look at the board there, and if we have any questions in regards to that? No questions at this time. Okay.
No questions.
Again, I want to thank you guys for presenting this to us. I know this has been quite a long process, but it's a significant one because obviously this is a significant piece that we're going to be creating here. Couple call outs that my colleagues did have that I wanted to get some further detail on. Randall had brought up the situation with the trash bins. As far as where the trash bins are located, can you confirm with me again where they're located again? And then also, when that time comes, can you also confirm that it's not blocking any sort of traffic for any of the residents coming out?
I don't know if it's possible that I can zoom in without this thing breaking. And there it went. Okay, so it's currently located right about here, Chair Smith. There is a utility connection that is in this spot. So, regardless of this, if we're able to reach an agreement to close this access, it will live somewhere still in this area. Now, these are parking spaces, so essentially, the existing apartments can park right in here. They'll come out this way, and they're able to drive this access this way. So regardless, it'll live still within this area and not impacting any of their traffic.
That's been the existing traffic for the trash currently,
Since,
or is that going to be new?
yeah. So the trash enclosures currently live like right here.
Okay. And that won't get in the way for the residential home that's right here at the end on the corner.
This one right here.
Yeah. Yes.
No, I mean if we move this, right now we're proposing it here with the full access to the south drive. If this drive access gets closed, this has the ability to fluctuate within this area wherever it makes the most logical sense so that a trash truck can enter and
Do you think that will
go
cause
right back out.
inconvenience for the resident?
No. I don't think so, because if anything, the closure of this just adds more landscaping to block that even further.
Okay. I also wanted to ask, and I know that Randall has brought this up, and I don't want to beat a dead horse either, but again, going back to the greenage, as far as the landscaping, I'm not questioning what you just discussed about the greenage growing. I am curious, though, about the upkeep. Is that something that is going to be covered by the HOA, or is that something that's just a part of the residents? Or I'm sorry, is the residents individually supposed to be responsible for their area when it comes to the upkeep of the landscaping?
So the way that it's currently proposed right now on this plan, this is all part of the maintenance of ours, because that's where it comes from a landscaping standpoint. As part of the agreement, I'm not necessarily sure where that maintenance obligation will lie.
Okay.
But right now the proposal is this is on our irrigation, it's part of our property, and we would preserve it as part of the buffer requirements in the easement.
And then for the internal residents inside, they have a little patch of greenage. Is that correct?
Sorry, are you talking about these ones right here?
No, further in, the one up top.
These ones?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
How
We
many?
talked about this last time. I did go drive that site, by the way, the one in Olympia. Yeah.
I just want to confirm what was the square footage again that we had for each resident of greenage
Oh,
that they have?
gosh, I don't know. I'd have to do a takeoff in here. I don't know the exact answer on that.
Okay.
It's enough to plant far. These are more ornamental trees in here, rather than the large trees, which is something that we discussed and took a closer look at.
Got it. And then final question. Going in regards to that little patch at the very end corner that has been used for like residential family to hang out, also for children access right there. That's the only sort of communal part.
Yeah, the plaza is really the centralized communal area, which is where we incorporated those multi-tiered stepping stones and boulders and stuff. I know that my kid, whenever she sees a play area, usually she goes directly for the rocks and other things to climb on, unless there's a slide. That's a different scenario with slides. But usually she's away from the play equipment, anything that's a log or a rock to climb on, she's all over. So we really kind of try to figure out, okay, well, how can we blend the plaza design with what children like to do? And that's how we kind of came together with something that could be multiple uses, not just sitting, but also climbing. For children, that is the intended to be the multi-use communal space. That other corner, it's not wide enough to control that with the grade separation that's there. So really, that's landscaping, lighting, pathway connection up in that northwest corner.
I relate to you when it comes to
Or
that,
south.
especially with my 4-year-old that loves
Yeah.
to that there may be a playground but prefers to go to the rocks, just
That's
asking for a
right.
concussion.
That's
I just want to confirm though too, we did discuss that there would be some sort of fencing protection from that area from the main spot,
Yeah, and so
along that line.
we did look into fencing here. The challenge we have with fencing is anything that would actually stop that blocks the entire view of that and goes really against the design standards of trying to create a plaza. And then you can say, okay, well, what about open view fencing? And then it really still creates sort of that, I hate to say it, but a jail effect almost. And you don't want that. You want to try to create that. And so by grade separating it, there is railing that goes along certain grade separated to meet the requirements for handrails. But mainly, I mean, hopefully, with those rose bushes, that's enough of a deterrent for somebody to avoid going out into the street. I know that, the second I got pricked with a rose bush, I never went near one again as a child. So that's what will be lining those street sections. And those to me serve as just as a good enough of a barrier and look a lot prettier than a 6-foot tall fence.
Let the record show that I will be sending my kids to go test that.
Yeah, don't. That's a
Just kidding.
punishment.
Anyways, I do appreciate you explaining that and your transparency. That is the final questions that I have so far. I think at this time, I believe at this time, we should allow the audience an opportunity to speak. I do also want to remind you that for each person that comes up, please state your name, first and last, and contact. And just be aware that each comment or question is pertained to 3 minutes.
Lori Nickford, Rosecrest Apartments. My question's really simple. Why not close off the driveway that you've already offered to do? We keep on talking about how they're going to possibly do it. Why not do it? It alleviates all of our issues. That simple. There would be no more, there's no traffic study showing the impacts of the drive lights coming into our building. You don't have a place for all of our recycle. Our garbage is also located where it is. We have a handicap unit right on that corner. A lot of the requirements for that handicap unit were based on when it was built. There's a plethora of issues. You guys did address many, but there are many more. If they close off the driveway, which they know they can, they've offered to do it in the summer. They offered again to do it, and now it was taken away after Tony was even under the impression it was going to happen because that's what he had told me. So why can't we close that off and drop it?
Thank you, Lori. Do we want to allow the applicant to respond?
Yeah, if the applicant would like to respond.
As a result of the last meeting, we're just communicating through our attorneys, and
I
we
would
will
state your name and
Mark Betcher, Main Street Property Group. We're continuing to work, and again, we continue to strive to be the greatest neighbors out there. So thank you.
Do you have any reason or anything from the city in regards to why?
Again, this is a really, it's a civil matter. The city, I do know that the applicant has talked to Public Works and Fire about the potential of closing that off. So it's, it does sound like it's a civil matter that, that needs to be resolved between the applicant and the style property owners.
Great, thank you. And again, I do, oh.
My name is Jack McFart from Rosegrass Apartment. And I just want to talk to you guys about the trees where they all, out of these 16 trees, only two of them may be bad. The rest are good. However, they pretend that they're all bad just because they need to go ahead and dig the ground and they'll damage the tree roots. That's the only reason they want to take it down. However, if I want to know how come you guys can give them a permit if it's not their tree to cut the trees? That's my question for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yep.
We have nothing on that.
As far as the tree retention is concerned, so that is something that's being reviewed. They've submitted revisions for the LSM. We'll review tree retention as part of that proposal. The thing about it is there is no, so a lot of times our tree retention is focused on the perimeter of the sites. And so that's where we focus a lot of the retention on. But this is, again, something that the applicant has submitted an arborist report that'll be reviewed by the city's arborist, and we'll look at that. As far as the buffer is concerned, it's not a required buffer by the city. It's a buffer that was installed, my understanding was as part of this installation of this driveway. It's within that access easement, and the city's position is, again, it's a civil matter regarding, you know, the retention of those trees, and that's something that I believe that the applicant and the property owners need to resolve.
They keep saying it's a city matter. If it's a city matter, how come, civil matter, I'm sorry, why are they giving them a permit to cut it?
We have not permitted, we have not approved any permits.
You haven't? Okay, so you're not going to give them a permit anytime, right?
I did not say that. I said we have not approved any permits for them. The permits are currently being reviewed by the city, by the city's arborist.
Okay.
To ensure compliance with the city's tree retention requirements.
But city cannot give a permit no matter what if it's not their tree. You see what I'm saying?
It's
not their tree. Okay. The trees were planted Rosecrans 1985. That's where it was. The driveway was constructed for Rosecrans. They brought it up high, 4 feet off the ground to meet the apartments. Now, they want to go ahead, take away the driveway, take away the trees. This is not right. Just doesn't make sense. How can you give a permit to somebody that just want to take away things?
We are currently reviewing the permit.
Okay.
You would have an opportunity. These trees and the driveway are located in a access landscape easement. The city does not have the authority to enforce a private easement.
You're correct. But you cannot also let somebody cut the trees either, can you?
The trees are being evaluated right now, whether they can be retained or not.
Right.
I want to thank you for your concern. And this is definitely something that, of course, is part of our deliberation to decide what we're wanting to do moving forward. But as clearly at stake by the city is that this is currently under review. Anybody can do that, no matter the property or the property that's owned. Anybody can review to look at if that's something that they can work with when it comes to different developments. It's not saying it's approved,
sure,
but it's just saying that they are putting in the application to have it reviewed to potentially.
Well,
so
the only reason I see this whole thing is because they want to build 8 unit right on the back, extra units. They just want to take out the trees, so it's good for them, you know? I mean, the bottom line is they're getting 8 extra units or 9 right on that edge, and they want to take out the trees. There's nothing wrong with the trees. That's all I got to say.
I understand,
yep.
And I appreciate
your statement. Thank you very
much. Your statement.
Thank you very much.
Is there anyone else online from the audience? Anything to review that was submitted?
There were no additional comments submitted prior to the meeting.
Thanks, Tony. I believe at this time, I'll open it up to final comments on behalf of my colleagues, and I'll start with Amy, and then we'll go to Amanda.
Okay, I don't have any comments about the architectural materials and colors, and as far as the character of the buildings, they're definitely suitable for townhouses, and they're what you typically can see and find. You know, I mean, I do, and this is just a personal preference, I always like the gabled roofs over the flat roofs. And so this is definitely probably one of the more what I call pedestrian scale projects that I've seen in a while. The site plan in terms of the circulation and the sidewalks and pedestrian circulation, I mean, that's also I think that it's reasonable, and I think it was well thought out, except for the southern row houses, which, I'm not convinced that, when the applicant talks about they did it for the preservation of the landscape buffer there, and just trying to understand really how much of that existing landscaping will be maintained or kept, and how many of those trees are truly going to be retained. It doesn't appear to me that they're even viable. But having said that, if they're able to retain all the existing trees and preserve the landscaping as the neighbors to the south has been expressing concerns about, I mean, I can see the compromise and having a less ideal sidewalk for those units in exchange for preserving the 10-foot landscape buffer. I don't really know what the ultimate configuration or solution is for that southern driveway. It seems like it is a lost opportunity for them to not have closed that. Would have given them a lot more space for those townhouses at the southern part. But again, if we don't have any code requirements for them to close that, as I said, it's a lost opportunity. I do appreciate the thought and the details for the Northeast Plaza, especially the accommodation for more of a multi-generational landscaping, the rocks, the climbing rocks for the kids. And it's not a very big space, but it's still nice to have something at that corner that's visible from Northeast 85th. So that's all I have.
Thank you so much, Amy. I appreciate your comments. Amanda?
Yeah, I think that all of my concerns have been previously addressed in the other meetings. I like the play area structures and I like the gabled roofs, and I have no other comments.
Thank you so much, Amanda. Randall?
There's a lot of tension between the apartment building and Tony, maybe you can answer this for me. Is the apartment building to the south, is the owner of that particular site or that facility involved in these negotiations? Are you the owners?
Yeah.
Okay, that just a clarification on that. The one thing I don't understand about this that we need to take a look at is that the particular easement is an ingress egress easement with a 10-foot buffer landscape. Now, if we took every project that we have coming up here that we've seen over the last 6 years that I've been here, and the requirement is the existing landscape at the perimeter of the site has to remain, we wouldn't get very far. Because we come in, we put in new sidewalks, we put in new street trees, we put in a whole variety of different things, and we actually enhance and actually increase the landscaping. In this particular case here, the development design team has actually enhanced this way beyond anything that is required on the perimeter of code or anything like that. And so it isn't a matter that we're tearing out a landscape buffer and losing it and it's just going away. We're actually improving and moving forward with a project in front of this area and a brand new project with a whole brand new landscape. And it's 10 foot wide. And if you look at the number, if you count the number of trees down there, and I agree, keep as many trees as you can, but it really is, there's areas there where, you know, you may not be able to. And so as I look at it, the rest of the project, I have no questions on, no qualms on. The trash, just realize that the trash enclosure that we're talking about is purely the apartment. It doesn't have anything to deal with the townhouses. And the drive aisle, curb, all of that, they're attempting to retain that exactly as is and actually modify and increase the landscaping materials within that 10-foot landscape buffer that's predicated by an easement. And so I think, you know, my move is, and we need to look at this and whether that drive aisle stays active and they close it off or whatever they do, that's not ours. We're looking at this plan that we're looking at tonight, and do we or would we approve this plan? And that's what we need to be looking at. And that's the way I would look at it I think the development firm, the architects, the designers on this have really stepped up, and it doesn't take long for these landscape buffers to grow. I've got a number of projects within the east side that I've done over the last 45 years that the landscape buffers, you wouldn't even know it, because we were able to infill and make it work. And I see this as one of those that's working. So that's where I'm at.
Thank you so much, Randall. Carlos?
Thank you. I agree with what Randall said. I think that based on the information that we've seen and the number of meetings that we've held tonight, the applicant has tried or made an effort to address the concerns based on what we were presented tonight and what we asked for. I think that, as Randall mentioned, the applicant is willing to provide an enhanced landscaping plan. depending on what the tree retention review says, it'll determine what they are allowed or not allowed to do as part of their property. And that needs to be in compliance with the construction codes and city codes. I think that just for the purposes of this review and for the purposes of just making sure that we adhere with the guidelines that the city has created for this specific meeting, I believe that the applicant has done an effort to prove that they are willing to provide a buffer that is maintained with trees. The other item that I wanted just to bring up, and I think that Randall, you mentioned it, is the trash enclosure and the construction activities that are going to happen where the current one is. It seems that the trash enclosure that is there is not part of your development. It's part of the adjacent property. And it appears from what I've heard that the developer is willing to provide or improve the existing trash enclosure, which it seems that it's going to be some sort of work to try to just work together. I would just recommend, and this is based on, again, the design guidelines, that the trash enclosure is constructed of durable materials and not just fence, wood fence, but it actually it provides the purpose of screening all those trash containers and trash bins, and that it's sized appropriately based on whatever use it requires. Other than that, I don't have any additional comments. I think that we've gone very far with this. We've asked the applicant, and I know that this is in a specific location due to the circumstances with other properties, but at this point, I believe that the design guidelines have been met, and as part of the now the city's process, it'll be to review the different aspects of utilities, construction codes, landscaping, and some other things that they need to go through their process. That's all that I have to say.
Thank you so much, Carlos. Appreciate that. Supriya?
Looks like Amy has her hand up if you want to jump in.
Hi, sorry, Supriya. So just very quickly, just wanted one thing to add. Regarding the 10-foot buffer on the south side, just for clarification, I know we had two different configurations shown to us tonight. One was on the master, the colored master plan, and then the landscape plan. So, you know, I just wanted to be very clear that that 10-foot buffer should be maintained, and where the you know, vehicle backup, usually, especially for that end unit, when it backs out, I'm not really sure that they have enough space for the car to do the three-point turn, that three-point turn should not encroach into the 10-foot buffer. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Amy. Is that all that you have for now?
Lowering my hand.
No worries. Supriya, I'll kick it off to you.
All right. I want to start by saying thank you to the design team, because I think they've addressed all the comments we've had in the last two meetings. And also want to appreciate that they have taken the time to listen to the comments we've provided up till now for the Northeast Plaza and the design that has developed from where we started to where it is now. I think it's a very good design. So I want to commend the design team for doing that. With regards to the buffer discussion, I think, you know, with the arborist report and the city looking at it, I don't think that the design review board is the place to comment on that. They will be the ones deciding if the trees are, you know, if they're in good health and they need to be maintained. Other than that, I think I don't have any more comments, and I'm ready to approve it.
Thank you, Supriya. Again, I do want to thank not only my colleagues, but also our applicants for this process. And I also want to thank the neighboring residents for your statements. It was definitely something that was valuable for us to discuss. There was concerns that were raised that I believe that we've done the best that our department can do. I know that especially when it comes to new projects, new infrastructure, and we've been seeing it all through Kirkland, can be disruptive. We understand that it can be disruptive when it comes to the way of life, where at times we can be creatures of consistent habits. But by doing this and building this, this is going to bring in more community. I feel that we've addressed a majority of the concerns that we had with the applicant, and I believe that they've done to the best of their ability with ways of enhancing and on also adding to the areas that we had concerns with, and are also working with the city in areas that still need further analysis, but that's outside of what we're doing and what we can do as far as the design review board. I agree with my colleagues. I believe that now is the time to go into final approval. So as of now, I'll have roll call to vote on the motion. And I'd like to ask for a motion to approve this project on the Rose Hill Townhomes.
Tyler, I would like just to add that I would like to see a motion with the condition of approval, with the condition that the project receives a trash enclosure built with the appropriate materials per the design guidelines. If it's relocated or if it's altered in any way.
I did want to add, so the one thing, so garbage and receptacle areas are required to be screened by a solid screening enclosure. The code says the solid screening enclosure is a physical and visual screen constructed of solid, durable, and non-reflective materials. So I think that kind of gets at that. So if there are changes to that area, but so
we will meet that requirement.
Okay. Thank you, Tony.
We move to amend the current approval or okay. All right. So like I was saying before, I motion to approve the Rose Hill Townhomes. We'll start with my colleagues here.
Make the motion to ask for approval. Someone needs to second it.
I second it.
Say that again. Sorry. So we're good?
Yes, she seconded it. So you can go roll call.
Okay, so I roll call to approve this motion, the Rose Hill Townhomes. All in favor, say aye.
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 Actually, I'm out. So at this point, you would just ask for a roll call vote, and then Jeannie will call each person's name, and then they will respond.
We're still working through this, guys. Okay. That's what I was asking about earlier.
Okay. Randall Brand?
Yes. Approve.
Amanda Briglow? Approve. Carlos Castaneda?
Yes, approved.
Supriya Kilkar?
Approved.
Tyler Smith?
Approved.
Amy Tars?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Motion is approved. And that concludes the agenda for the Rose Hill Townhomes. Is there anything else on the agenda that we need to review?
I really don't have anything for administrative reports.
Hey. I'll make a motion, or I ask on behalf of my colleagues a motion to close meeting.
Make a motion that we adjourn.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All right. Motion is adjourned. And we're close.
You just so miss Carlos.
All in favor. All in favor. Say aye.
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 We're closed.